Well, turn with me in your Bibles again to the book of 1 Thessalonians. We're in chapter 5, and I'm looking at the first 11 verses this morning. And as you've probably realized from our songs today, we're continuing looking at that theme of the second coming of Christ. 1 Thessalonians, I remind you that Paul wrote this letter to this group of people in the town of Thessalonica because many of them believed that Jesus was coming back in their lifetime. And many of them were speculating exactly when that could be. Some of them even gave up their jobs. They were staying at home and partying and getting ready for the coming of Christ. So Paul writes this book to try and rectify the error in their thinking with regard to the coming of Christ. 1 Thessalonians 5. Now, brothers, about times and dates, we don't need to write to you, for you know very well that the day of the Lord will come like a thief in the night. While people are saying peace and safety, destruction will come on them suddenly. As labor pains on a pregnant woman, they will not escape. But you, brothers, are not in darkness so that this day should surprise you like a thief. You are all sons of the light and sons of the day. We do not belong to the night or to the darkness. So then, let us not be like others who are asleep, but let us be alert and self-controlled. For those who sleep, sleep at night, and those who get drunk at night. But since we belong to the day, let us be self-controlled, putting on faith and love as a breastplate, and the hope of salvation as a helmet. For God did not appoint us to suffer wrath, but to receive salvation through our Lord Jesus Christ. He died for us, so that whether we are awake or asleep, we may live together with him. Therefore, encourage one another and build each other up, just in fact, as you are doing. The question I want to ask us today is, are you ready for the return of Jesus? Are you ready for the return of Jesus? Friends, the only thing we can be certain of is the return of Jesus. You can't even be certain of death, because the Bible tells us that some will be alive when Jesus returns. So you can't even be certain of death, although many of us know that little phrase, you know, you can avoid a lot of things that you can't avoid, death and taxes. Yes, you can avoid death if Jesus comes, but you can't avoid taxes. The government will get you, don't worry. Are you ready for the return of Jesus? Well, what does Paul have to remind us? What does the scripture have to remind us? The first thing this passage reminds us of, friends, is we should not speculate about the return of Jesus. If you turn on to any Christian television, radio, or radio station, you're going to hear many, many people tell you when Jesus is going to return. Let me tell you, I've been listening to those people since I first became a Christian back in 1974. People have told me, Jesus is coming next year. You better be ready. Well, it's now 2024 and I'm still waiting. Because they were talking nonsense. Jesus, friends, reminds us, don't speculate. He says this, about times or dates, we don't need to write to you. In Matthew 24, friends, in the middle of a chapter that is dealing with the subject of the signs of Christ's return, Jesus says this in verse 36, nobody knows the day or hour, not even the angels in heaven, Not even the Son, but only the Father. Of course, Jesus was talking about himself when he was on earth at that point in time. While Jesus walked the face of this earth, friends, he walked as a human and he was limited by humanity. He did not know when the return would be. He himself had posed that limit on himself, friends. And he makes it very clear, there is only one who knows when that's going to happen, and that's God himself. I think I've shared with you once before, we had a theological professor who helped us very clearly understand this. He said, when somebody starts predicting when Jesus is going to return, God is honor bound not to keep that date. Do you hear that? The minute you say, I know, God says you don't. Shut up. Because Jesus said only the Father knows. So if you think you know, then you're saying you God. No, friend, you don't know. There is not one television evangelist, what one preacher who will tell you a million things about when Jesus is going to return, friends. They don't know. But you know what I say. I always say this, I don't know when Jesus is going to return, but one thing I do know, it's one day sooner than yesterday. That's the only thing we can be certain of, friends. That it's one day sooner than yesterday. He's coming. You better be sure of that. But don't try and predict when it's going to be. Number two, we should know that the return of Jesus will be a surprise. Verse 2 tells us they're going to come like the thief in the night. Well, on Friday night, I don't know if you heard, but some of you may have heard, they robbed the Hungry Lion next door here. The Hungry Lion had gone into a lot of effort to put wires on the top of their roof there and barbed wire and everything like that and put alarms up there. But they were very clever because you know what they did? They went across the road. There's an electrical box over there. They switched all the switches off. So all the alarms at Hungry Lion didn't work. And they went through the roof and into Hungry Lion. Well, you can plan and plan and plan as much as you think, friends. You just don't know when they're going to come. It's a surprise. They planned as much as they could. But the return of Jesus is the same, friends. You just don't know. But be aware of this. Don't be surprised when he comes. He's coming. Number three. We should understand we will all face the return of Jesus. Every one of us, friends, is going to be accountable to Jesus when he comes. Verse 3 tells us, while people say peace and security, destruction will come. And labor pains will come on a pregnant woman. They cannot escape. Friends, what Paul is trying to remind us of, we can be certain. You may think you can control the politics of this world. Pregnant ladies may think they can predict when their baby will be born. But only one knows that, friends, and that's God himself, isn't it? Nobody can predict those things, but we can know they're going to happen. Herod, who thought he was one of the great kings, decided that, you know, he would act in the place of God. Listen to what it says about Herod in Acts chapter 12. On the appointed day, Herod, wearing his royal robes, sat on his throne and delivered a public address to the people. They shouted, "This is the voice of God, not of man." Oh, Herod loved to hear that. He was full of the importance of self. He thought he was planning the world. But verse 23, immediately, because Herod did not give praise to God, an angel of the Lord struck him down, and he was eaten by the worms and died. Friend, don't think you can fool around with God. Don't think you can tell God how things should happen, friends. It's not the case with the coming of Christ. The reality is, friends, Jesus is coming again, and you need to remember. Number four, those who are not ready for the return of Jesus, Paul describes them as living in darkness. Verses 5 to 7 tell us about those who are not ready, living in darkness. What are people who live in darkness? Well, Paul says the first thing is they look like they're asleep. In the previous chapter last week, we were reminded that death was like sleeping. And so Paul says, while it looks they are like they're sleeping, they're actually dead. Because they're dead in their transgressions, friends. But not only are they asleep, they're also full of sin. He says, those who get drunk at nighttime. I wish that was the case these days. People who get drunk seem to get drunk at any time of the day these days. Friends, the sad reality is those who are not ready for the return of Jesus don't care at all. But the challenge to us and the challenge Paul was giving to the church at Thessalonica is that we need to be ready, friends. And how should the Christian be ready for the coming of Christ? Verse 5 and 6 reminds us, we should walk as if we are in the light. 1 John 1 verse 7 says, if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus, his Son, purifies us from all sin. Friends, we need to be living a life of purity. We need to be living a life where we will not be afraid or ashamed when Jesus comes again. But secondly, we should be alert. Why should we be alert as Christians? Well, friends, Peter reminds us, be self-controlled and alert. Why? Because your enemy, the devil, is prowling around like a roaring lion looking for somebody to deliver. Friend, doesn't matter how strong a Christian you are, if you're not keeping close to Christ, friends, the devil can snatch you out of his hands. Friends, the devil can make you ashamed when Christ comes again. Be made aware, friends. We need to be alert when Jesus comes again. But you know, the wonderful thing about this passage is that it ends with just why we can be ready. You can be ready. In the closing verses of this section, Paul reminds us of the gospel message, friends. What's the wonderful thing, friends, about the fact that we don't need to be afraid of the return of Jesus? Paul reminds us of four truths of the gospel. What's the first truth? Verse 9. Friends, the first truth is this. God loves you and does not want you to suffer. That's the first point of the gospel, friends. God loves you and doesn't want you to suffer. Verse 9 reminds us of that. God did not appoint us to suffer wrath. Friends, that's the wonderful message of the scriptures. Many people are angry at God. They say, God's a hateful old man up in heaven who just wants to punish people. No, friends, that's not the case. God is the author of salvation. That verse that we know so very well, John 3, verse 16, for God so loved the world that he sent his only begotten Son. The plan of salvation, friends, finds its root in the heart of God. In the story of the prodigal son, as the son goes out, the prodigal goes out and lives his wild life. It's God the Father who's waiting at the door for the son to return. And when the son returns, it's the father who runs out to throw his arms around him and welcome him back into the kingdom. Friend, you can be ready for the coming of Christ because God wants you to be ready. He's got a plan for you. What's that plan? Secondly, God has provided a way of salvation through Jesus. Verse 9 carries on, says, God did not appoint for us to suffer, but to receive salvation through our Lord Jesus Christ. For God so loved the world that he sent his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him will not perish but have eternal life. Friends, that's the gospel message. That's why we don't need to be afraid of the coming of Christ, because God desires for us to be ready for his coming, but not only desire for us for his coming, he's provided, friends, a way for us to be sure that we're going to be with him. How has he done that? Well, friends, the wonderful thing, he's paid the penalty. He's paid the price for us to enter into eternity. Verse 10 carries on and says, and he died for us. Friends, that's what we were reminded of in the cross, in the communion service today. Jesus didn't get on the cross for his own sins, friends. Jesus had no sin to die for. He was perfect in every way. But he died on the cross for us. Friends, that's why it's possible for us to enter into eternity. Christ has paid the penalty of our sins once and forever. And finally, the gospel message, friends, is that God invites us to spend eternity with him. Verse 10 carries on, says, he died for us so that whether we are awake or at sleep, we may live together with him. Friends, what a wonderful summary of the gospel there is in verse 9 and 10. For God did not appoint us to suffer wrath. God has a plan of salvation. To receive salvation through our Lord Jesus Christ, he has provided that way of salvation in Christ. The way that salvation has been paid is that Christ died for us, the sinless man, for the people full of sin, so that, lastly, we may go to be with him for eternity. There's the gospel, friends. There's the message that we can be ready for the return of Jesus. Are you ready for the return of Jesus, friends? The simple thing that you need to do, friends, is turn to Jesus, who offers you salvation. Turn to Jesus, friends, who's made it possible for you to go into eternity, to be with him forever. When Israel were far from God, God sent a prophet to promise them that he would save them. That same promise, friends, come true in Jesus. In the book of Isaiah, chapter 51, we have this wonderful image of the fact that God promises that he's coming to fetch us. Listen to what it says in Isaiah 51. Listen to me. You who pursue righteousness and seek the Lord, the Lord will surely comfort Zion and will look with compassion on all her ruins. He will make her dreams like Eden, her wastelands like the garden of the Lord. Joy and gladness will be found in her, thanksgiving and the sound of singing. Listen to me, my people. Hear me, my nation. The law will go out from me. My justice will become a light to the nations. My righteousness draws near speedily. My salvation is on the way, and my arm will bring justice to the nations. Lift your eyes to the heavens. Look to the earth beneath. The earth will vanish like the smoke. The earth will wear out like a garment. Its inhabitants die like flies. But God says, my salvation will last forever. My righteousness will never fail. Friend, God offered Israel salvation. He offers you salvation today. You don't need to be afraid of the second coming of Christ. You don't need to worry about when it's going to happen, but know it's going to happen. The question is, are you ready for the return of Jesus? You're only ready if you've accepted him as your way of salvation. Only he, friends, only he who was promised back in the book of Isaiah, only he who came to hang on the cross for us, only he, friends, can pay the penalty, and only he can take us into eternity to spend it with him, with the Father. Let's pray together. Lord, help us. Help those who are not ready for salvation. Help those who are not ready for your return, Lord, to realize that they need you. Thank you for touching our lives. Thank you that we don't need to fear your coming, Lord. We can look forward to with confidence, for we know, Lord, that you're coming to take us to be with you for all eternity. We give you all the praise and all the glory in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, we're going to sing the same song we sang last week in closing, Jesus is Coming Again. We thought it was appropriate for us to sing it again.